Father, we are gathered here in your presence this morning. Lord, we come as your people, already for the most part cleansed and redeemed and in relationship with you. But Lord, we know this morning the importance of seeking you, and we just pray this morning as you remind us of these things that we will make this our pursuit in the year 2011 because of all the other things that we may do and engage in and have as goals for this year. I cannot think of a more important one than for each of us individually and for us as a church body to be actively and earnestly seeking you day by day. And you have said in your word that you will be found of those who seek you when we seek you with our whole heart. So we pray this morning, speak to us by your Spirit, not about the other person's need, but about our own. And this we ask in the name of Christ, our Lord. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. As you know, we're still early in a new year, and some people maybe are still setting your priorities. People have a way of setting priorities at the beginning of the year. Some people make resolutions. Some people say, I'm going to make some changes. And of course, you notice that all of the ads from all of the major places have exercise equipment in them this time of year. I wonder why that is. And everybody's trying to take off a few of those pounds. But we think of the new year as a new start, don't we? And as a new beginning. We know that the world is in a terrible mess. And we know that that may actually get worse this year. We don't know that. And there are many things out there that we do not have control over, even as we spoke at the Christmas Eve service. There are many things going to happen this year we don't have control over. But there are things that we do have control over. And the Lord isn't going to hold us responsible for all those things out there that we don't have any control over. But He is going to hold us responsible for the things we do have control over. Now, how many here this morning believe in the law of cause and effect? Do you believe in the law of cause and effect? There are a lot of things out there that we don't have any control over, and yet much of our life today is the direct result of choices and decisions that we have made in the past and actions that we have taken in the past. For ill or for good. And so we cannot, it's like the law of sowing and reaping. That is the basic law of cause and effect. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so there is this law of cause and effect. If I were to take this and bend it hard enough, I could probably break my glasses in half this morning. If you eat all that real heavy calorie stuff and the bread and the fat, and you eat until you can hold no more, and you sit on a couch and watch a lot of TV, and you do that day after day, do you think there will be an effect from that? Yes. On the other hand, if you begin to cut your portions and use that smaller plate they tell you to use, so and cut out a few high-calorie things and do what I think Dave Sage has referred to on occasion as push-aways, do you think that would have an effect over time? Not the first. Do you lose all the weight the first meal you miss? Oh, my. Would to God it were that way, huh? But there is a cause and effect. And if you keep pushing away from the table, you will lose the weight. Are we right? There is cause and effect. And there's cause and effect even in the passive. The things that we neglect to do have an effect. The things that are necessary and needed and that we do not do. If I do not take a bath for 30 days, it might even begin to become noticeable to others beside myself. But the things that we don't do also have an effect. So knowing that law of cause and effect, and so And every action has a corresponding reaction and response. Never think that your action went into a vacuum. I don't know why we keep thinking that way, but sometimes we, I can do this and get by with it. No, you can't. You may get by with it that day, that week, but you won't get by with it because everything has a corresponding, you know, the old saying, what goes around? Okay, there we go. So, as believers, and at the beginning of a year, obviously we need to have our priorities straight, and we need to make sure that we've got in place the few basics. Jesus said, "Come to me. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And He doesn't put real heavy. He's there to actually lighten our burden. But there are a few basic things that He wants to put on us and that we need to not look at as drudgery, but that we need to look at in a good way, because these will pay a great dividends as we go along. And so as we're early in the year here, seeking the Lord, you know, I was thinking about this year coming up. What are the things we can do? There are many things we're going to do. And many of us are going to be involved here at the church in a whole lot of things. We're going to be involved in children's ministry and youth ministry and all kinds of ministries and outreaches and Awana and Sunday school and Vacation Bible School and so many things. And we're going to be involved in a lot of things. And then on the home front, there's all these things that we need to do and take care of. And then maybe on the job, there are things we've got to do and take care of. So we have a number of things. But there are a few things that are very important. Years ago, somebody did that illustration here that of filling an aquarium or something, putting sand in it, and then trying to get all the rocks in it, and they couldn't do it. But if they put the rocks in first and then poured the sand in, then the sand would find its place. And the lesson was, put the big things in first. Well, this one we're talking about today, this is one of those big things. This is one of those that needs to be put in first. And do we need reminders? I don't know. I'm only going by myself. I need reminders all the time. So, based on that, we're going to talk about something this morning that we just need to reset our priorities for the new year. So, if you're one of those who likes today, there are a lot of blanks on the insert there, but if you're one of those, and you can always find my sermons by Monday, usually, if you click on, you go to snccc.org and then click on Weekly Sermon. Usually the notes will come up there. But if you're one of those who does these, now would be the time to get it. So just have a few observations and a few thoughts about seeking God. There was a man years ago that used to come by this church, and he was very passionate for the things of God and the work of God, and his name, I believe, was Dick Sanford. Am I right? He's gone. Wasn't he a pilot at one time? Anyway, I don't know that he was. But he was a missionary with New Tribes and later became a recruiter. And he was a very active recruiter. And I remember it being, he was very direct. He would walk up to somebody and say, "Young man, when are you going to get serious in your walk with the Lord?" Just like that. And he didn't mean it in a mean way. He could say it, and as we say, get by with it. He didn't mean it in a mean way, but just a reminder. But speaking factually, when are you going to get serious in your walk with the Lord? And the Lord used this man to recruit a lot of people, including, I think, the Palmers and that family. And so he's with the Lord now. But when? And sometimes I think the Lord's looking down at us, and, you know, we've been in church all these years, and the Lord is saying in so many words, you know, calling us by name, when are you going to get serious in your walk with the Lord? So there's a question for us right now, for any one of us sitting here this morning. How serious am I about my walk with the Lord? Where does it fit in? Is it second, third, fifth, sixth? Or almost non-existent? Where is it? But here are some observations on seeking God. Number one, scripturally, seeking God should continually be the top priority of every believer. You know, they asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment. He said, "It is you, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. That is the first thing. We were made for the honor and glory of God. And our first duty and pursuit in life is to seek Him. And so, seeking Him, I mean, it's all over Scripture. You see these scriptures that we've read this morning, and every single one of them refer to seeking God in some way. And I have a supplement. If you pull it up on the internet there, you'll see the supplement, additional scriptures that address the issue of seeking the Lord. All throughout Scripture, in both the Old and New Testament, we are told again and again about the importance of seeking God. So whatever our other goals are and whatever other things we're seeking, seeking the Lord is number one. Jesus put it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things, the things that you worry about and spend all the time and energy on, will be added to you as well. So it's important that we make seeking God our number one priority in the year 2011. If you believe in cause and effect, then seeking God will have an effect. Not the first time you crack that Bible, just like not missing one meal will make you lose all the weight. Not the first time you spend that half hour in prayer. Not that first time you attend that Bible study that you haven't been attending, or whatever that initiative may be. But if you set your heart to it and you begin to seek the Lord, there will be cause and effect. But seeking God should continually be the top priority of every believer. And whatever else we're pursuing, it's not going to mean as much, and it's not going to be as pleasing to God as if we do it in the context of continually seeking Him. Number two, scripturally speaking, seeking God should be understood in the context of pursuing relationship. Let me read that again. Scripturally speaking, seeking God should be understood in the context of pursuing relationship. When we say seeking God, what are we talking about? We're talking about getting to know Him better, right? We're talking about pursuing relationship. And that, again, is addressed throughout the Scripture. And how do we pursue relationship with Him? Well, here are just four, and I know there are many more. A, we seek His presence. When we're seeking God, we're seeking His presence. We're seeking to be in His presence. When we seek God, we're seeking His guidance. How many here have ever asked for the Lord's guidance on a matter before? That is one of the forms of seeking God. And it's real easy to miss. We just go on through life and we make these little choices and decisions and never even stop to ask His guidance. Am I right? It's like, hey, you know, whatever, I'm in church, I pay my tithes, I get to make the rest of the decisions. Oh, really? And to seek God is to seek His presence. It's to seek His guidance. See, it's to seek His truth. Because how can we really come to know this God until we really begin to seek His truth, which, of course, we find in His Word, and we seek His will. If we are serious believers and we love the Lord and we want to honor and glorify the Lord, then we want to know the Lord's will, don't we? We want to know the Lord's will about every single part of our life and everything that we're involved in. So when we talk about seeking God, have you ever heard somebody say, 20 years ago, I found God? Anybody ever heard somebody use that? I found God. I found God. I think it's more accurate to say He found you. But that's another topic for another time. But even if it's true that 20 years ago you found God, you know, to the casual observer, you might, oh, yeah, and it shows because you haven't had any more contact with Him since. You know, 20 years ago I found God. And somebody might say, well, I already know God and I already found God, so why do I need to keep seeking God? I've already found God. Well, that's why I put the thing about pursuing relationship. Would a husband say, well, I haven't even talked to my wife or even looked at my wife in 30 days. I mean, after all, I found her and we got married. So are we now not going to pursue a relationship? But a lot of people think of their Christian life that way. Am I right? I got saved. I went down front. I got baptized. Come on. I go to church. Let's take it one more step. I never miss a service. Let me ask you something. Is attending church on Sunday morning the equivalent of seeking God continually? Is that the equivalent of actually being in and seeking relationship with Him? No. It is one part of that. If you went to a movie with your wife once a week and had no other contact with her, could you say that you're pursuing relationship with your wife? Ask her. So, yeah, we found God or He found us or whatever, but no, relationship, hey, even yesterday's activities and events don't mean relationship today. Every day, if it's relationship, there has to be a phone call. Every day, there has to be exchange of words. Every day, there has to be looking in each other's faces. Otherwise, there isn't really relationship. And we need to remember that regarding our relationship with the Lord. Number three, ministry. I put these in caps even though they're not blanks. Ministry, wholeness, and fruitfulness all flow from relationship. Conversely, when relationship suffers, everything else suffers. If I'm teaching Sunday school, I owe it to those children or young people or seniors or whoever I teach to be in full and active relationship with Jesus during the week. I owe them that. If I am involved in Awana, I owe those Awana children to be in relationship with Jesus. Knowing the handbook, knowing the words, that isn't enough. And if I'm coming in some functionary way, just going through the motions because I know the material and I'm not really in relationship, I'm not really suited to teach and to do what I'm doing. And you heard it from your pastor. We need to be in relationship because ministry flows from what? Relationship, not from knowledge. Knowledge is good and knowledge is useful, but ministry flows from relationship. Wholeness flows from what? How many people know the Word of God up here and can quote it, and yet their internal life is a wreck because they're not living in daily relationship? It's the relationship with Jesus. It's the walk with Jesus every day that's going to make you whole. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That's where it comes from. We need to understand. And fruitfulness, where does fruitfulness come from? We just covered it in Sunday school a few weeks ago. The vine and the branches are in relationship to the vine, and they receive their strength and they receive their life from the vine. And if you cut the branch off from the vine, what happens to the branch? And if the branch is dying and withering, will it produce fruit? And the answer is no. But if the branch is firmly into the vine, receiving that life moment by moment, moment by moment, you don't even see that. It's happening up inside where you don't see it, but it's happening. Pretty soon, leaves come out, little blossoms come out, and then the grapes come out. How many like grapes? Our grandkids come over to the house. Barbara always has grapes. They head to the refrigerator. The grapes are one of the first things. And I don't know, it's just, I guess there's so many on a cluster, grapes have kind of become the symbol for fruitfulness, you know, and in the scripture and all that. Fruitfulness comes from what? Starts with R. What does it come from? Relationship, not knowledge. Am I preaching yet? Number four. Half-hearted or sporadic efforts at seeking God will not get us where we need to be. Apply that to anything else. Losing weight. Half-hearted or sporadic efforts at losing weight will not get you where you need to be. Half-hearted or sporadic efforts at exercise will not get you where you need to be. Am I right? And it's the same in this relationship thing with the Lord. It will not do it. It needs to be. It doesn't have to be great volumes of time, but it must be regular. It must be regular and it must be continual. Number five, this is just an observation from a couple of the Psalms. It is His face we seek. It is our heart that seeks Him. We're looking for a new principle at Cornerstone. I told somebody yesterday, I hope we get somebody whose heart is really in it. Because you can have all the degrees and you can have all the preparation in the world in a field. If your heart isn't in it, you're not going to do a good job. It's the heart. It ain't the mind and the brain. Yeah, we need to feed the mind and the brain, and we need to feed the mind and the brain with the Word of God. But when I'm seeking God, what part of me is seeking God? It had better be the heart. And if I'm going through the motions and the heart ain't in it, that isn't really worship. I'm just present in a worship service. But there isn't any really seeking God going on. And what is it we're seeking? His face. When you want to know what somebody is thinking, and you try out something on them. Do you ever do that? Try a little verbiage out on somebody? And then you watch their face. When you are in a really intense conversation with a friend or your husband or your wife or your parent or your child, and you are in kind of a almost heated, you are in some intense communication, which is part of relation. Are you looking at their navel? Are you looking at their toes? You're looking at their what? Face. Because in the face, you discern the reaction and the emotion and the will and the intent. I've heard it said that look could have. But it's the face. And so many of these verses are about seeking God's face. So that's proof right there. It's about seeking relationship. It's about knowing what He's about. And it's a one-on-one thing. I can't do that for you. And you can't do that for me. If we're going to seek God's face, every single one of us has to do that on our own. Moving on. Six, we know these well, so I won't spend a lot of time on them. The means by which believers seek God have never changed. Not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. We seek God individually and corporately through, number one, His Word. Thank God He has given us a revelation. He has revealed Himself in a place where we can go and find His face. Through reading, through study, through meditation, that is, thinking on His Word, and through memorization. Those are the four main ways that we relate to the Word, and we need to be in some form of all of this continually. Again, sporadic efforts at it will not get us where we need to be. B, prayer and supplication. Sometimes God will drive us to our knees through a circumstance, and our hearts are heavy and all of that, and we come to God. But sometimes I think we ought to be thanking God, because if it wasn't for that circumstance, we might not be on our knees seeking Him. We might be out there hooping it up. And our God isn't against, you know, having a little fun in life or whatever. But I tell you what, there needs to be a time in our life daily when we, you know, we're in prayer and we're on supplication. I look around and there are so many needs. Do you see needs? You have needs in your own life, right? But a lot of times you don't even have to look any further than somebody under your own roof, or somebody next door, or somebody at work. And you see these needs, and these needs are crying out for prayer. You say, well, why would I pray about it? I can't even do anything about it. You start praying about it. I don't know. God just has ways of working, doesn't he? He may show you something you can do about it. He may send that person relief some other way. He may begin to work in their heart and their life by his Holy Spirit. Something may be reactivated in them because of your prayers that's been dormant for a long, long time. You do not know. But yes, we seek him through prayer and supplication. And this is similar, but we also seek him through worship and praise. There's the time to ask, but there's the time to give thanks and worship the Lord and praise him and say, I love you, Lord. Do you like to hear your children say, I love you, Daddy, or I love you, Mama, or whatever? And there's a time to do that. And that is an important part. I've heard of households where the folks in them never say, I love you, to each other. You know? And if we're not praising the Lord and thanking him routinely, then faith-wise, that's the kind of household we live in. And through these things, we inevitably, cause and effect, do them. You'll get to know the Lord better. Number 7, and I love this one. And this is from James. Oh, and he's writing. You read the book of James? He's writing to believers. He's not writing. He's writing to believers. And here's what the observation based on James 4, 7, and 8. The Lord is never hard to find. The minute we make a move his direction, he makes an equal or greater move toward us. I have found this to be absolutely true, even as a believer. And if I get a little slack in my prayer life or my prayer time, or a little slack in something, or a little slack in, it's been busy or whatever, and I got a little slack in being in the Word, it is just amazing to me how quickly after I crack those pages, he begins to talk to me. And how quickly, if I spend some time in prayer, does the Lord talk back to you when you pray? How often, even in prayer, he'll begin to talk to me and tell me things, and how quickly that happens. He's just waiting for me. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's just waiting for me to make the first move. Why is this true? You say, well, why should I have to seek him? Well, he hasn't gone anywhere, but he's got to have my attention, first of all. So that's what it says. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now there's some cause and effect that we often neglect. How much devil resisting have you done recently? But then it says, draw near to God, or come near to God. And then what does it say? And he will come near to you. It doesn't say he might. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say sometimes. It doesn't say part of the time. It says, if I make a move toward him, he will always immediately move my way. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know about our Heavenly Father? So we have all kinds of opportunities out there this year. And I just hope that as believers, we will make the most of them. And then the closing thought, and I think there is a couple blanks there. Set your priorities in 2011 to seek the Lord. Whatever else you do, determine that in your heart. I'm going to seek the Lord this year through his word, through prayer and supplication, through worship and praise, I'm going to seek the Lord. Make seeking Him your primary goal. The rewards will be great, and your spiritual life will prosper. And even if you're prospering in other areas and things are going well, don't fool yourself. Being prosperous and well off in other ways while neglecting your walk with God is never a wise thing to do. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today that you would even give us the right and the privilege to approach your presence. And not just about great big important things as we would count them, but even about what we might think, oh, this is a small thing, this is a foolish thing. You are interested in every detail. And just as we want to hear everything from our children, you want to hear everything from us. And your desire, I know, is that your people this year would be seeking you. Yes, Lord, we will do a lot of ministry around here. And in other places, there'll be a lot of ministry going on, and there'll be missionaries going out. There'll be all kinds of things happening this year. But Lord, I just pray that in the midst of it all, that the foundation of it all will be that we as your people have made it our business. We have made it our goal. We have made it our priority to make seeking you our number one venture for the year 2011. And I just have to know that no matter how bad things get in the world, if we individually and as a church group here will make seeking you, not your things, not your blessings per se, but you, seeking you, our number one priority, that you will bless and we will thrive in every area of our life, regardless of what else is going on in the world. Give us hearts to seek you and to want you more than we want other things. That's our prayer today, and we ask it humbly in the name of Christ our Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. Do you have relationship with Jesus? Have you opened your heart to Him? Have you said, Lord Jesus, come in and be my Savior and be my Lord? If you have not done that, you need to do that. That is the starting point. And I would invite you to come down this morning and make your decision, yes, to make it firm. And if you're a believer and you've been going through, we go through these waves or curves or whatever, if you're in one of those low ones, you don't have to stay there. You can begin right now to have a year of seeking the Lord. And my prayer would be that that's exactly what we'll do. If you have anything on your heart this morning you'd like to share, feel free to do that. I'll be right down front during this closing hymn.